Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National All EN call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If you'd like to ask a question during the presentation, please use the chat feature located in the lower left corner of your screen. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, October 2nd, 2014. I would now like to turn the conference over to Michelle Legere, the ticket program. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate your time to call in and join us. We have a full agenda, and we're going to make a slight shift in one of our topics and move it to the front of the call this afternoon. We're going to have a very brief update on the ticket portal and also a few comments on the suitability requirements. So it's my pleasure to turn it over to Gary Rao, and Gary, it's all yours from ORDES.
Thank you, Michelle. This is Gary Rao, and I wanted to tell you that we had gotten a request from NIDA about the possibility of seeking suitability clearance for employees that are not yet on the payroll and occasionally volunteers, and we have agreed to try this out and see what kind of a workload this presents for SSA. So what I ask that you do, if you have a situation like that where you have an employee that's not yet on your payroll or a volunteer that needs to be working on PII issues with regard to PII, what we'd like you to do is send to your employment network service branch specialist, if you know their name. If you haven't been called yet by them, you can send it to enservice@ssa.gov and give us the information before you actually go and request suitability. We'd like to have the following items: the individual's name, the expected period of performance, a brief background, for example, was there a college student, a beneficiary, an employment counselor, the nature of the job or the assigned duties that you want to have them engaged in, the reason for access to PII, and a brief description of training regarding security and protection of PII that the individual will receive from you, in addition to what's required for SSA. If you could send that in, as I had suggested before, and await the response, which will be prompt from ENSB, once that's approved, you can go ahead and request suitability clearance for that individual. So we'll give that a try and see how it works out. And at this point, you can start that at any time. So thank you, and Michelle, that's all I have at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Gary. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to, we're going to go forward with our effective practice presentation, and our facilitator to kick things off is Donna DeJulis. Donna?
Hello, everyone, and also I would like to thank everyone for calling in today, especially for this effective practices presentation. It is specifically discussing youth in transition, and we are pleased to have on the line with us from Career Connection Employment Network, Whittier Union High School, Richard Rosenberg. Richard?
Thank you very much. We're excited to be here. If you go to the next slide. We've been at Ticket to Work Project for a number of years, and we come from a high school perspective. And what we're trying to do is, go to the next one, Donna, is share how school districts can link with individuals and help build to go the next step to be a successful closure within and successful ticket participant, et cetera. One of the things that we like as we present to parents and others is failure to focus on Social Security benefits during transition is not just a missed opportunity, but may also cause harm when students and family members are not educated or prepared for the effects of earnings on cash benefit and medical insurance. To me, this is huge, and we really want to take the time to appreciate when does transition start, and what does that look like, and how does that navigate when we look at the world of Social Security. Personally and professionally, I am a parent of a child with a disability. I have navigated as a parent and a professional working with workability, transition partnership, Social Security for a number of years. Transition starts at birth. Transition is a changing of expectations and changing how people look at life. The goals that we talked about for today really are how do we change attitude, how do we engage the family, and how do we look at life after high school. So some of the things that we see as we've navigated over the years, individuals have to have high expectations. Individuals have to be given an opportunity to be proud of who they are. Individuals have to have an opportunity to look at other people with disabilities who have successfully navigated the world of college, living independently, living with support, having a job, and what that looks like. So we really see the value of starting early. We also see the value of person-centered and person-driven services. On the slide, you see College Fair. You see a Community Ability Awareness Day down in the lower right where our city of Whittier helps us to host a fair that's open to middle school, high school, and individuals who are in the community navigating the world of post-secondary, college, etc. And I think the next slide is one of the most important slides today involving the family. I had a call a number of years ago with a team from Social Security, and they asked us what has allowed us to be so successful over the years. And our response really is information sharing, engagement, and knowledge being shared with the parents, families, group home providers, foster care support people. It is a family dialogue because a family member can sabotage as well as allow it to be successful. So we really have found over the years a huge value of bringing families in, allowing families to communicate with us, having an open dialogue, and any question is a good question, and the bottom line that we are really dealing with is breaking down the myths and the stereotypes that have been around for years, that going to work, if my child has a disability, will be problematic, I'll lose money, I'll lose benefits, my child won't be taken care of, et cetera, et cetera. So we really have found involving the family to the best of our ability is really important. Are we successful all the time? No, we are not. Are there times that we let the family piece go and we work harder on empowerment and self-advocacy? Certainly is. So we work hard with school people, with family, support people to navigate and go that next step. And as we say at the bottom, gaining trust from parents / guardian is a must. Next slide. We look at how do we successfully navigate getting off of benefits. We look at the EN, we look at the individual, we look at the family, we look at the school district, and we look at the adult agency. And we all have to partner together to look at what is this individual's dream, what's their goal, what's their nightmare, and how can we establish a person-driven program or a person-centered service that truly allows employment to be at the other end. I had a young man in my office this morning, and he worked at a nursery for a number of years in high school. He's an individual who has a traumatic brain injury, and he says, I want to go back to the nursery because they treated me nicely and I felt good about my job. And I think those are part of those relationships and those dialogues that are so important as we navigate and we go the next step. What I'm going to do is ask Julie Johnson, who is our CWIC, part of our school district, to talk about navigating benefits planning and what she does helping me with the EN role.
Thanks, Richard. Yeah, Social Security benefit planning is vital, especially when addressing the students and the families. Like Richard said, we work with all of the high schools, and then from those students that I see that are very interested in work, highly motivated, have a lot of family support, those are the ones that I'll contact and see if they would be interested in becoming a participant in our Ticket to Work program. But I work with all of our students. So the first thing we do is we talk about Social Security benefits, what will happen when you start working. Typically, the students I'm working with are between 18 and 22, so we are eligible or they are eligible for the student earned income exclusion. Every parent I talk to from students with in our transition program, the first thing they said was absolutely not. They are not working. Their benefits will be stopped. But we were able to explain to them in originally we had monthly trainings where we explained everything, which was too confusing. Then we started to narrow it down to just SSI, maybe specific work incentives. So the student earned income exclusion was the biggest work incentive that allowed parents to help their students go ahead, try working, and they would not lose their benefits due to the fact that they were still full-time students. We also discussed impairment-related work expenses, plan to achieve self-support. And in addition, we always told them, parents and the young adults, even though you're eligible for certain work incentives, expect you're going to get a letter from Social Security that maybe sometimes the wages weren't reported on time or different things. So expect letters. Don't be terrified. Bring them into us, and we will go ahead and help you address them. Next slide, please.
And before we go to the next slide, but you can go, Donna, that's great. I think one of the biggest pieces that we run is as special educators, we are king and queen of enabling and codependency. And I say that personally and professionally. But what we really do is we may have a great relationship with the students. We have a great relationship with our local Social Security office. We make sure the young adults do what they are supposed to do, but it's really passing it to them so that they will do it themselves, which will minimize the overpayments over time. Some of the services that we do, employment.
Right. For the resume, we work with resumes, practice interviewing really, really in detail, one-on-one, sometimes in groups. Talk about, give them certain answers that they can just fall back on if they get confused or scared, situational questions. We have trainings on all of that. And importantly, we have some technology that Jenny is able to help the students and our Ticket to Work participants with.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay, hopefully? We have a program where students, we work with other districts together with UC Irvine on a technology in the workplace program where students learn to use tablets, whether Apple-based or Android-based, to use apps that will help them in the workplace and also prior to being employed doing resumes. They're taught to do video resumes using QR codes to put on their business card to hand to the employer, and they can just scan that and go straight to the student's resume. Other apps to help them with scheduling, bus transportation, interview techniques, lots of different apps, and it's been very, very helpful for our students.
And I think it's an exciting time when the students come back after going to a seminar at UCI on the technology of looking in my office, and they scan all the treats that I have for the students and staff, and they say, Dr. Rosenberg, the red vines are a lot better than the Hershey Kisses because they've used their iPhone or their app to scan the nutritional values. So it's not just interviewing for the workplace. It's using the skills and using the apps for healthy living, which is really cool.
Okay, next slide, please. So for our youth, and I am including all of our high school students that have IEPs, in addition to our Ticket to Work participants, we're looking for all of these internship opportunities, summer youth employment programs, which we have been especially have been very helpful for us. We've had a lot of students get hired by their summer youth employment. Lots of our employers in the area look forward to this every summer, And we also definitely tell students if they're not working, don't be sitting around. Let's go out and look for volunteer opportunities so that you can help your skills. You'll have a good resume that you will – they'll be more likely to know what it is like to work on their social skills, because a lot of times that's the biggest problem is talking, is behaving appropriately. So the volunteer work really helps them learn what they need to expect and how they need to act in a job. Also, we definitely need to keep in touch with the family, because often if the family isn't supportive or if Social Security, they've received a letter and then they're just absolutely against it, we really need to keep on top of the families. A lot of our students receiving disability benefits have a their representative payee as a parent, and so we need to keep in constant communication with them, especially when they're employed. Next slide. Challenges. Yeah, the challenges, and when I meant this, I meant for our EN. The young adults typically start at entry-level jobs, minimum wage, part-time hours. A lot of times they need help with transportation, if it's late or if the bus isn't running. So we really need to keep in touch with the family. And as far as our EN receiving any payment, a lot of times that is way off in the future because they're not working and earning enough. Occasionally we will get a phase one milestone, but typically we won't get a lot of payments until maybe down the road. Quite often our young adults who are in our transition program with significant developmental disabilities may never reach that, but they're such overachievers and good workers, we want to help them do the best that they can. Some of our Ticket to Work participants who have college degrees that we've worked with through high school, they are young adults that we've been able to receive quite a few payments from. But we do believe that any work they do, whether they make the Ticket to Work timely progress goals, whether they make those or not, they are a success. Next slide.
And as we talk about successes, if you look at Scott, Scott's a young man that we supported from California High School, one of our high schools. He then went to Fullerton Community College. He uses a wheelchair. He's been qualified by the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. He's been qualified by the Department of Developmental Services. He's a great young man. However, he made it through community college. He then went to Cal State Fullerton, the four-year college. He made it through that. Department of Rehab finally said, we need to help this man get a job. He cannot be a lifelong student, even though some of us would like to. He cannot be a lifelong student. So we worked, and we had a whole person center meeting where the regional center was there, Department of Rehab was there, technology was there because he's used Speak and Drag and other technologies to take notes and write papers. And we were very fortunate. Through our job developer and our connections, he got a job at Disability Rights California, and he's been working there for 8 years. And I think part of the story is Department of Rehab helped with a clothes allowance, helped with transportation, assistive technology in order to help him be able to do his case notes came from the regional center. We helped with the job development. We also let him know his benefits plan, his benefit opportunities, that he could have a pass plan to have a backup wheelchair because he had to go to Sacramento once a month. And many people know that if you're traveling and how the cargo people handle those wheelchairs is not always great. I think the power between Scott is he had probably 60 interviews before he got the job. And what he taught me is how our society and our culture still looks at the wheelchair and does not look at the individual. But he's been employed, he's doing well, he's navigated, and that's a success story for me. Next slide, please.
Okay, this is Craig, who was a student in our at one of our high schools who had significant mental illness, was not able to attend school, attended an alternative school. He connected with us, and he was very, very tall. He's like 6'6", overweight, just really having struggles. He connected with our agency, with our employment network as well, and we saw that there's a possibility, even though he wasn't doing well at school or socially, He really had an interest in learning about cars, the mechanics. So he went to our ROP program, did a great job. He went, which is right here on our campus. I used to see him all the time. He went to our community college that has a great automotive program, met a teacher there, kind of turned his life around, and as did our employment network, we helped him find, he had an internship at a body shop. Then he actually started to grow, and he really became comfortable with himself. He got a job at Walmart. Next thing we know, he was working as the manager of their automotive department. Saw him constantly, helped him with his work incentives. Then he started coming in again. He needed help with letters of recommendation. He was applying for scholarships and grants for the Caterpillar program. He just absolutely turned into a person I never could have believed. He was just confident, just wonderful. Anyway, he's very successful. He is one young man, though, that I will say that occasionally I find that at my younger Ticket to Work participants, they're not as careful or they're not as worried about their benefits. He's one young man who we did get some payments for, but he was like, I don't want to be bothered with it anymore, and he just quit. And even when I said, let me help you, you know, I'll help you, I explained that our EN could get some payments if he continued to report his earnings, if he continued to, you know, answer a letter from Social Security, but he just didn't want it. I respected that. So he actually was terminated, started saving a success in his real life and a partial success for our employment network as far as the payments went. But just a wonderful, wonderful story. Next slide, please. Okay, this is Claudia, another huge success for us. Claudia is legally blind, known her all through high school, came up, got her college degree, very bright young lady in history, wanted to be a high school teacher, never really thought that was her calling. However, she did substitute teach, and if any of you have ever done that, you know the kids are always terrible for substitutes. She decided she didn't want to do that. She actually got a job with a contractor for the,
TSA.
For the TSA, where she was considered a private contractor. So we had to work a lot on that as far as her benefits go as self-employed. That job ended. She actually came here and worked for us in our office on special projects, answering the phone. She's bilingual. She's just so bright. Did a lot of work for us. Really became comfortable. Then she applied for another position. I know it was Department of Homeland Security. So she applied for another position where both Richard and I, the FBI, came here, right, interviewed us. She had to get her security clearance, got the job. She takes the train to Los Angeles every day, does a great job. Another one that isn't, even though we've received every payment for her because she's done such a great job, he keeps in contact with me. She's just a really, really lucky, really good worker. And she is saving money. She's just doing all sorts of things for her future. She was SSI, SSDI. Her SSI was terminated because of her savings, which makes sense. She's young. That's what young people are supposed to do, save for their future. And because she's on SSDI, she continues to be in her expedited, I mean, in her her 3-year period of where she I'm losing my words. I'm nervous. Anyway, she's in her period of employment. Oh, I can't think of it. The 3 years, you know, and she's doing great. Keeps in contact with me all the time. Next slide, please.
Julie, you did great. Miguel, and Miguel is a young man, and if any of you have heard me present, and sometimes he presents with me, his life story is a young man with challenges. When he was a freshman, he was on my caseload, and they're helping you out on the chat. Extended period of eligibility.
Thank you,
team. But Miguel was a great story in that his freshman year, he would not talk to anyone. He was scared. He worked with us over the years in high school. He then came to transition. We helped him get a job at Togo's. That worked for 5 years. Then he got a job at McDonald's. And what's really cool is he is an independent person right now. He has blossomed. He's one of the best employees. He's utilized his benefits. He comes in every month, makes a copy of his check, sends it to Social Security. He has just really navigated. And back to the family story, his father was very strong. Don't you guys screw up with his Social Security. Don't you have it go into an overpayment. Don't you? Just very hard on us. And as he navigated, and we did have the SEIE with him, and he went over his limit in November, we had to tell the father that would impact his Social Security, and father was really strong, and we were worried. The father said, my son is so happy, he's an independent man, it's okay that we're impacting his Social Security. So it really has been one of those lives of win-win, working with the family and navigating. And the last success story is a real person who's in the office with us, and I'll introduce Ginny.
Hi, it's me again, this time in the role of a ticket to work participant. I had been on SSDI for about 13 years when I realized it was time to go back to work, and I called around, I don't know, 10 or 15 different ENs and didn't feel comfortable with any of them until I called the EN here at Career Connection and came in and started working with our CWICs, and I hadn't worked in 13 years. I was very scared to go back to work. I didn't know what I was capable of any longer. And they were great with me. It turned out I was offered a job here working about 8 to 10 hours a week. So it was a great way to start, very slow, and as I was more comfortable and they were liking what they were seeing as far as my work capabilities, offered me more and more time, and eventually I applied for and became the coordinator of our mentoring program, and I've been here now about 10 and a half years.
And it is a success story, and it's a pleasure to work with Ginny, and it's also cool that she's able to bring that reality at times when we need young adults to hear how you can navigate the system, how you can go through what your challenges are and navigate that and meet your fears and come to the other side, which is really cool. I'm going to take a couple minutes to share about the next slide and a variety of slides. We are really excited to be one of the districts in the California Promise. California promoting the readiness of minors in supplemental security. We are, and I am, the regional manager for the LA County area, and it's really been exciting. And we're going to do this quickly because that's not what the presentation is about, but it is a joint initiative with a large number of federal entities and state entities. If you go to the next slide, we are a model demonstration project trying to look at, as I keep saying in this call, the power of families, the power of communication. We are so excited about looking at statistically, random assignment, et cetera, how CalPromise can have an impact on people for the rest of their life. So we're looking at 14 to 16-year-olds. We will impact 3,078 young adults. Half of them will be in the intervention. Half will be in the usual. Next, Donna. These are the partners that we're working with, and we just had our state interagency meeting. And to have the heads of EDD and Department of Developmental Services getting excited about helping individuals with employment and reducing their dependency on work has been great. Next. It's a schematic of who our partners are in Sacramento, how we work at a local level, how we work with San Diego State. Next slide. These are all the school districts that are involved. We all are creating opportunities to have anywhere from 3 to 10 career service coordinators working through the school districts, impacting in the middle school and high school to navigate knowing that going to work is always better. Who has served 14 to 16-year-olds? We're looking at outreach efforts, and we're finding the best effort is the relationship. And then the last few slides, not to be gone in detail, but it highlights what our core services are, looking at education, employment, benefits planning and work incentive, other objectives from family, health, and wellness, and then the partners are who involved in the matrix with us as we navigate. And the last slide for the ICAP is that we understand it's a disclaimer. We can't be responsible. We're going to do the best we can with education as we navigate and move forward. And the last slide is we go, and it's just powerful. This was last Wednesday, when the students went to a job fair. And they got their ties on and got dressed up and navigate going out into the real world, which we see as so valuable from a school district to the real world, navigating Social Security. I put that on fast forward. We will entertain questions. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Richard and Julie and Jenny, thank you so much for your presentation today. We're very excited about the information you presented. You hit some very important points, such as the engagement of family and partnerships and the benefits planning and work incentives. Your contact information for our three presenters today is on the screen right now. Please feel free to contact them directly. And, Michelle, that's what we have for today.
Thank you, Donna. And again, kudos to all of you in California. The Promise Grant is quite an accomplishment, even just to be selected. It's a national program, and there was quite a bit of competition to get that in your state. So, again, congratulations, and we look forward to hearing maybe from you next year as to the outcomes you have been able to achieve with that. We are going to, and just for all of our callers, we will be posting the PowerPoint. We've gotten a couple of questions on the chat line about where you can locate the PowerPoint. It's not available at this time, but it will be posted shortly. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to Felix Stump to talk about hours for our help desk.
Hi, everyone. This is Felix. I'm the Deputy Project Director with the Dig It to Work program, and just want to give you a really brief update. We have our, of course, you know, the telephone help desk, the entertainment help desk, as well as the systems help desk. Our hours the last couple years have been 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Beginning in October, we have made a very small adjustment. The hours of our telephone helplines are now 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, and I understand that does, particularly for the ENs on the West Coast, perhaps put a little bit more of a constraint on the availability. What we found, however, is that the number of calls we received during that last hour between 5 and 6 p.m. Eastern really was not enough to warrant kind of keeping the staff, keeping those lines open. So we of course, still have email help desks that are available to you 24/7, and there is a tremendous amount of information on the website to answer many questions you might have. But that is all. I'll turn it back to Michelle.
All right. Thank you, Felix. Moving on to our website upgrade. It looks awesome, and kudos to our marketing and communications department. And so, Latasha, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Latasha DeRed, a communications specialist here at Ticket. We're going to just do a brief walkthrough of the changes and upgrade that took place on Friday, September 26th. We will not be getting into specific portal issues. This is just pertaining to the public website. If you have questions or issues with the portal, we ask that you direct those to the systems help desk. So first, you'll notice that when you go to yourtickettowork.com, it should be a lot more user-friendly now. That's how we designed this. And you should be able to see the screen. If you're signed on to the webinar, you should see that if you're logged in. The first bar in navigation that you'll see is the black bar at the top of the screen. This bar contains the external links to our partners in Social Security. This is the same as the bar that was on the previous website. That bar also contains the portal login, as indicated by the gold key, and the options to make the text bigger or smaller depending on your vision needs. Beneath that, you'll see the ticket logo. This ticket logo works the same as the ticket logo did on the previous website. You can click on it and go back to this page from any point in the website. You'll also find the search bar and Social Security's logo as well. The next bar that you see is the blue main navigation bar. And here you'll notice that we no longer are dividing information into three areas. They used to be divided into employment networks, vocational rehabilitation, and potentially ENs. Now that has been replaced with About Ticket to Work, employment networks, program operations, vocational rehabilitation, information center, and related resources. The first tab there about Ticket to Work contains general information about the ticket program and its history, along with information about Social Security and ORDES, as well as OSM specific information, FAQs that have all been consolidated into this one area now, and the contact us information. And if you click on contact us and scroll all the way down, you'll see that this is where the business protocol document is now located. It used to be at the top of the page, and now it is at the bottom of the page. The Employment Networks tab contains information specific to employment networks. And then the next tab is Program Operations. This is where you'll find information about payments now. So this is all payments information. The Vocational Rehabilitation tab contains information specific to VR. And then the Information Center is largely the same. It remains the centralized location on the website for resources such as the calendar of events, training materials, forms that you'll need to complete business processes, and resource documents. There's also the event archive located here. And if you click on the calendar of events and the events archive, you'll notice that they are more organized areas, and you'll notice the new layouts for those. Then the Related Resources tab is a new area of the website. This area contains information that is focused on employment but may not be specific to Ticket to Work, such as Section 503 rules, Schedule A hiring, and then just disability employment information. That's it for the recap of the website. If you experience difficulties with this, as we said, we want you to report them to the Systems Help Desk, and we hope you find this more intuitive, more user-friendly than the previous website.
Thank you, Latasha, and I just certainly, again, want to say, I just think it looks, I don't know if clean is a word you can use, but it's just very, it's bright, it's easy to find information, and our staff have really appreciated the effort put in and the redesign. So thank you. I now would like to move it back to ORDES, as they will provide just a very quick update on the ticket portal.
Thank you, Michelle. This is Desiree. Katie is not here this afternoon, and we really don't have much to share today. There was something that you received from the Awesome yesterday, answering some of the questions from the previous EN call, and just letting you know that there will be continuous information. And so today we basically just want to reiterate that we hope that you all are finding your way to register for my SSA account, and also if you need suitability clearance to take that measure. And in addition, if you have already registered for the My Social Security account and have a PIN number, you need to give that to your EN service branch representative. We understand that when you receive your PIN in the letter that you get, it indicates in some way that it's, you know, for one-time use when you go on to set things up. but you do have to give that information to your EN service branch representative because it has to go into the system to allow you to enter the portal. So don't throw your letter away when you get it with the PIN. But that's really all we wanted to say on that subject today. And in addition, there was a slot on the agenda about suitability requirements for accessing the portal, and we're not going to really talk about that unless you have some questions, since there's going to be training coming up soon. So Michelle, that's it for my update.
Thank you, Desiree. And actually, I just want to support your last comment there. We are inviting all ENs and state VR agencies to call in on October the 9th to receive training information on the suitability process and, more importantly, just to walk through the My Social Security account and making sure that you all know how to click into the website to obtain that second level of security clearance. So please plan to join us on October the 9th at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. At this point, we do not have any, that completes our agenda, and we're going to open the phone lines, operator, to questions.
No, there's way.
Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to register your questions, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request.
And do we have any questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My apologies. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a further reminder to register your questions or comments, please press 1-4 on your telephone now.
And do we have any questions on the chat line we need to respond to?
Not at this time.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments from our speakers today?
We're a resource if anyone has questions. I already have a request from Albuquerque, and we would love to help them with seeing how high schools can be part of the Ticket to Work program.
Very good, Richard. Thank you. And all of those that are working with high school students, please reach out to those ENs that have established processes that are working well. It's not always easy working with school districts. So, again, thank you, Richard, for your presentation today. And that concludes our call, and we want to thank all of you for calling in today. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.